This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement is due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Jalen Thompson with us here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. We are live from the NCAA tournament down here in Nafsker Park. We are actually inside. Our friends from Homegrown brought us in. Just had a delicious breakfast from them. Thanks for letting us get out of the wind here for a little bit, Jalen. It's probably not quite as windy out there. Are you still in Arizona or are you back in KC yet?
I came back to KC just a little early, and then I'm getting ready to go to Texas for those last two games.
And then, yeah, and then we've got a season that starts, what, in a week, basically? Mm-hmm. Yep. So I cannot believe, as we're sitting here in the middle of March Madness and like at ground center, that we're going to have baseball. Next, I got a fantasy baseball draft this weekend. Like, it's here. Like, we're here. And the Royals are going to be a big part of it. We've talked to you all spring training long about how they're not getting enough love. Knock on wood here. They survived, right, without any real significant injury, which is where you always start when you have big expectations for a season, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everyone is healthy. They still have a couple more games to go. I mean, the pieces are kind of falling in place. So now it's just about how do you manage these last 6-7 games that you might have until it's time to get rolling again.
You know, I would love to get your assessment on the way that you feel like Bobby Witt Jr. has progressed throughout spring training. We've seen, you know, some of those, big time home runs with the exit velocity off the bat through the roof and, you know, traveling 400 plus feet and that sort of thing. We know about his power. We know about, you know, how effective he is in that regard. But have you seen him be able to settle in to a point to where, as we've gone through spring training, he's going to be, you know, peak Bobby Witt Jr. on opening day?
I think so. Looking earlier in camp, you know, he was getting his timing together. You know, there was concern people had about a couple of weeks ago when he's going to hit the first home run. Where's Bobby's power? And now he has four. So
he's hitting the 411 feet dead center on the last.
Yeah. So I think that he had a scare with the left forearm contusion, getting hit by the pitch, but he was able to bounce back from that. Perks of being a young player that you can bounce back. If he's 34 or 44, I don't know how quickly he bounces back, but it took him a couple of days and he was back in action. So I think it's pretty clear that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be ready to go. And I think another key part about helping him being ready to go is having Jonathan India, who has been outstanding this whole spring, hitting in front of him.
he's going to do exactly what they want him to do. I think Jalen Thompson with us, Royals beat reporter for the KC Star, at Jalen with an O, Thompson, on X, if you want to follow all his great work. Tell us about India then. So where's he going to play defensively? Is he going to rotate? And then you kind of alluded to it there. They're getting exactly what they wanted out of him offensively thus far, correct?
Yes, exactly. As far as what he's done offensively, it has been what the Royals have wanted, and it's everything that they desired when they acquired him for Brady Singer this offseason. I mean, the man can get on base. He can steal bases. He can, you know, really put pressure on an opposing pitcher because of his ability to just always have a professional at bat. And I think that's what you want out of that leadoff spot, and that's what Jonathan India provides. As far as defense goes, I think the Royals are still going to be figuring that out going into the regular season. It's some days it could be at third base. Remember, he was drafted as a third baseman coming out of University of Florida. Some days he could play at second. Yep. Some days could be in the outfield. I think the key for the Royals is going to be how well are some of their outfielders hitting and playing, because that could determine, well, where does Jonathan India play? If MJ Melendez is hitting well and he's off to a fast start, well, he's going to be in left field. Then where do you put Jonathan India? Is that at third base? Is that at him at second, Massey at DH? It's just so many ways they can go. But for right now, they're really happy with what India provides in the lineup, and he's going to be out there every day. We just don't know where that could be.
Let's talk a little bit about the fifth starter position, Jalen. I know that, you know, the rotation is pretty much set for the most part. We talked about, you know, the fifth spot in that rotation. Chris Bubich is a guy that has, you know, kind of come back in spring training and has pitched decently well during the time in Arizona. I would imagine that it's leaning more towards him to be that fifth guy in the rotation.
Yeah, I think that is what the Royals want to have happen. And I think that's probably what will happen when the final roster decisions come in. If you look very closely, we saw Daniel Lynch come into the game as a reliever a couple of days ago. And I think that was key that he did come in that late inning role, because that gives him more opportunities to potentially make this team as in the bullpen, you know. And the Royals have to make that decision of, if Bubich is going to be the fifth starter, what do you do with Daniel Lynch? Has he done enough to be on the team in the bullpen? I think he has. I think what he's done this spring has been really remarkable, knowing that he has worked hard and he's another left-handed option that you can have just in case. But the question is always going to be, you can send Daniel Lynch to AAA and get regular and consistent starts in case of an injury in your starting rotation, or you can have him be in the bullpen as another option to, you know, eat some innings as a left-hander. So they have to decide what they want to do with that. And I think they will in the next couple of days. So that's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Daniel Lynch.
I'll bet she's in the bullpen. I think they need to protect themselves. And I know him being a starter protects them to some degree, but he has done this long enough where if they needed him to be a starter, he could convert what he can do out of the bullpen for the big league club. Cause I don't think he would factor into the back end right away, is help the starters not be as pressed to go into deep as games early in the year. Mm-hmm. So I think he helps them there. I'm most curious though, Jalen, about the back end of the bullpen. Hunter Harvey's healthy. Is Ursig the closer and Harvey and MacArthur set him up? Do we have any indication? Is there a set way that Q wants us to go? He kind of seems like he likes to have it that way, but Ursig's the Swiss Army knife. So what do you expect to see at the end of games for the Royals out of the gates?
I think it's going to be Carlos Estevez as the guy that's going to be most likely finishing games. And that's really not to say that Ursig will not finish games, but he can operate in that fireman role. Well, you know, how the Astros had Josh Hader and do for so long when he was with them, you know, just come in and get the best hitters wherever they may be late in the game. So that could be in the seventh inning, that could be in the eighth inning.
And they used him that way last year. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because with the when you look at how the Royals want to play, they like matchups. So if the best matchup is in that eighth inning, like we saw, like Urshela came in and got some of those outs. Now you don't have to rely on him to get 4, 5, 6 outs. He can just get those three. You have instead of it to finish the game off. So I think that's kind of how they want to play it. But we'll see how it all comes together because, like you said, you have Hunter Harvey down there. You have John Schreiber down there. You have Sam Long. You have Angel Zerpa.
You still have MacArthur, don't they?
Yeah, MacArthur, but he's still limited with his injury.
So okay.
He's with his elbow surgery, he probably won't be back to start the season on opening day.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I know the Royals, Jalen, have over the last few days trimmed down their big league roster getting ready for opening day. We know that Jack Caglione, who's had a phenomenal spring training, will start the season in the minors. I'm sure we'll see him at, you know, at some point with the big league squad. But as we get closer and closer to opening day, are there still some decisions that still need to be made as far as the final roster? And if so, what are we looking at there?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to the guys that are out of options. So we mentioned Daniel Lynch. I think he probably maybe will be in that bullpen. I have him in my current projection in the bullpen. Yeah. But Carlos Hernandez is going to be someone that they still might have to consider because he's a flamethrower. He's someone that if he's out of options and if you let him go, then there's a chance that another team might pick him up and then you might lose a flamethrower. I don't know how much the Royals would want that to happen because they developed him, and teams don't like giving away talent that they developed. But that's something I'm looking at. I'm also looking at, like, the bench spots. Nick Prado versus Nelson Velasquez, both are out of options. The Royals, they still have to fill their bench, and could they go with one of those guys? I think I put Nick Prado up there because he's another homegrown talent that they drafted in the first round. Maybe they give him one more shot. Or maybe they go with someone that's not even on the roster for that last roster spot. So those are the two values I'm looking for. And I'm also looking at potentially do the Royals go with a utility man? Is it going to be Harold Castro? Is it going to be Kevin Biggio? Is it going to be Nick Lofton? You know, last year they had Adam Frazier be that left-handed hitting specialist that could play the infield and the outfield. Biggio and Castro can do that. Lofton's right-handed, but he can also do that as well. So those are just things that I'm looking at. And we'll see how they really want to decide those last kind of three spots that they have open.
A lot to chew on there. We'll be looking for those final spots. Follow Jalen on it. Before we let you go, Jalen, you're a Georgia guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Well,
pain.
We had that front. We had that front and center yesterday here in Wichita.
I was so embarrassed.
You should have come down. You should have come down.
I was going to. I said, if they beat Gonzaga, I will come when they play Houston. Because I just. And then I was. But now I'm happy I didn't come because I would have been so bad making that 3-hour drive back.
It was bad.
I mean, Gonzaga shot lights out. They could not miss against Georgia.
Man.
I know
there were a lot of Georgia fans here. I say a lot, but I talked to quite a few, and they were pretty. You know, they were excited to be here and having a great time on the way in the arena,
not on the way out.
Not so much on the way out.
A lot of them left like midway through the second half. Like they were just like, yeah, we're done.
We talked secondhand, but there were a group of students that had driven here who had to drive back to make a 9 a.m. class. That's the most college thing ever.
That's a 16-hour drive.
That's a rough one. I did that in college. We did that all the time. We'd drive down to one college and go party and then drive back as we whatever.
How do you guys feel about the Missouri teams getting knocked out? That's weird too.
Tommy loves it. He's a KU guy.
I'm a KU guy, but I will also say that I had Drake winning anyway. Like they were fantastic.
Drake's really good, and Mizzou has a couple local connections to us here, so we actually it would have been great to see them do well. Drake's really good. Really good, and we've got two great Tech Drake and Gonzaga Houston. There won't be a better combination of games in any region than what we're going to have here on Saturday. So. Had to mention that. I knew you were a Georgia guy. Apologies. That didn't go well.
Next year. We'll be back next year.
There you go. There's always next year. That's what everybody's saying. That's what all but, you know, what is 32 plus another team. What is that? 48 teams. That's what all but 48 teams are saying right now.
That's right.
Jalen, we appreciate it. Go find Jalen. Find him on X at Jalen Thompson. Glad to have you back here in the Midwest, and can't wait to get this season started and talk about it each and every week here on Sports Daily.
That's right. Thank you guys so much.